Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hello and a very warm welcome to this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Dave Clark, joined on the line, of course, by the Racing Post golf expert Steve Palmer and from our friends at Paddy Power, Ian McLaughlin. Right, I'll start with you, Steve. Last week, how did we go?
Far from ideal, Dave. Thomas Peters and Jason Day were the main bets. Peters opened with a 64 to get me very excited. He led the Czech Masters straight away. Looked like a 20-bag yield, but then faded to ninth place over the next 3 days. So, Thomas Peters let me down badly. And in the Northern Trust, Jason Day played well again without doing enough to seriously contend for the title. He finished 20th. So, no good on those two. But fortunately, Aaron Wise delivered the place money. 150-1 chance, Aaron Wise. He delivered a full payout from a three-way tie for fifth spot. So with a couple of firms going eight places, that was a nice full each-way payout.
Handy. Ian, how did Paddy Power fare? I saw a young up-and-coming golfer by the name of Padraig Harrington up in the frame as well. Would he go backed or unbacked?
He would have been a poor result in running in terms of... He was grand pre-tournament, but obviously when the punters start seeing him getting in contention and... playing well and challenging for the lead, the liability would go up and up. So obviously Pavan winning would have been good for us, and DeChambeau was kind of unfounded in the market too in the Northern Trust. So yeah, it was a good week for us overall.
He was a very short price in running, was the mad scientist, as we'll call him, DeChambeau. Do people get stuck in when I saw he was sort of 5-on, 6-on at some stage, sort of the start of the final round. Do him running punters get stuck in there?
He started off around 4-7. Punters would still, take the 4-7. There'd be some in the book that they think, right, DeChambeau's going to close here. And obviously he had a well-documented meltdown in Germany 4 weeks ago. So people would be going the other end going, well, I can find some each-way value in the market here behind it because I think he's going to come back. But ultimately, in the end, he won quite cozy. I think it was 4 in the end he won by, so...
Really gutsy performance, wasn't it? A really fantastic front-running performance from DeChambeau. Yeah. That's two really big tournaments he's won now, the Memorial and that one. You know, both in elite company, three US Tour titles, still very young, and Ryder Cup certainty now. So, very impressive.
That was going to be my question. Would he be a cert for the Ryder Cup team now?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he's a total lock now. I think he's been earmarked for a while to play with Tiger Woods. They both use the Bridgestone ball. Tiger Woods has been seen in interviews waxing lyrical about Bryson DeChambeau. So there's obviously a sort of forced loving that's taking place between them. DeChambeau and Woods look like likely wild cards and likely playing partners.
Let's switch from the US team to the European team, because this week, Steve, I mean, we'll touch on the Made in Denmark tournament a little bit later on, but the outcome can have a big effect on who actually represents Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. There's three players still in with a mathematical chance of getting on the team automatically. Thorbjørn Olesen in pole position, then Matt Fitzpatrick and Eddie Pepperell. I think Matt Fitzpatrick will play well this week. The course is ideal for him, but I don't think he'll do enough to win. And then I think Thorbjørn Olesen is almost certainly going to secure his automatic qualification. So that'll leave Thomas Bjorn with still some difficult decisions to make. I think Sergio Garcia and Henrik Stenson, they're almost certain to play. I think Henrik Stenson's injury, he withdrew last week, he got an elbow injury, but I think that's a sort of precautionary withdrawal. I think he'll be saving himself for the Ryder Cup. So I think Garcia and Stenson are certainties. I think Ian Poulter, because of his Ryder Cup pedigree, almost certain to get a wildcard pick. So it's just that last spot that Bjorn's got to think about now. And I think either Thomas Peters or Russell Knox. Peters proved himself in the Ryder Cup, fantastic in the last one. But Knox is better suited to the course. Paris National, very tight, fiddly course, perfect for Russell Knox. So I think if Peters contends in the Made in Denmark to keep up this little purple patch of form that he's in, I think Peters will get the nod. But Russell Knox is the alternative.
Do you concur with that, Ian?
I concur. I'd be pretty heavy on Peters being the last pick there. Just with Rory McIlroy having, I think he'll have a big say in the last pick in terms of they got on so well together in America at the last Ryder Cup. I think he wants him as a foursomes and four-ball partner throughout the week. So, yeah, I think he'll get the last spot with Sergio, Stenson and Poulter filling up the other three.
Right, now, moving on, this big match, the pay-per-view between Woods and Mickelson seems to be on. $9 million, the talk. Was that something that would interest you, Steve? Will you be punting on that, looking at that? I know it took him place in Vegas somewhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of fury about it being pay-per-view, isn't there? But I think that means it'll be there's more of an obligation to make it viewer-friendly, so I guess they'll be getting them microphoned up. There'll be interviews throughout. It should be an interesting spectacle. It's just a shame they seem to like each other now, isn't it? The old needle is gone. So I can't see it having much of an edge. And it doesn't matter what the prize money is. I mean, is it up to $9 million now? Is it $9 million to the winner? Yeah. I mean, $9 million to them is like a fiver to us. So there's no edge with the money. I'll probably have a bet the other time. I'll have to have a good study up of the course. I haven't looked at the course yet. And if I was forced to have a bet today, it would be Tiger. I think Tiger he always had a psychological edge over Mickelson, really. And I think that'll be the case again. But yeah, I'm not having a bet yet.
Ian, will it interest you? I mean, the pay-per-view model is sort of, they're talking about it being the boxing MMA model. I think I'd rather them in the ring. I think I'd pay to watch that rather than on the course.
Yeah, there was price tags going around about $24.99, which could be a bit pricey if you're not an avid golf fan, even if it is Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. But I'll probably be working for it, probably trading it and running if not. But if I'm at home, I'll probably buy it as well for the $24.99. I think it's going to be a good show.
And have Paddy Power got a market up yet?
We do, yeah. The showdown in Shadow Creek, it's titled. Tiger Woods is now 4-7 and Phil Mickelson is 5-4. They were closer together. I think it was 8-11 evens when we first went up. But after Tiger's great performance at Bellerive, we kind of pushed the price in a bit there.
How would you price the boxing match up then, Ian?
Boxing match, I think
Mickelson's a mover, isn't he? He could duck and weave, but Tiger would knock him out.
I think Tiger would knock him out. Too strong, too much stamina in the end. 8-round knockout, I'd say.
I would definitely pay £25 to watch that one. Right, Bruce is in sunnier climes, I hear, but he was kind enough to send out a tweet to get some questions for you guys. I'll start with On The Nod 25 saying, can you ask Steve to release a Born To Punt version 2? It was brilliant.
Oh, well, that's very kind words, but sadly I find 7 days a week is not enough to comfortably fulfil all my regular commitments at the moment. I'm permanently knackered and stressed. But maybe, just maybe, if I ever get to retire, I'll write another book then. Hopefully it'll be called How I Won My Retirement.
Sure, it'll be a bestseller. Right, Noel Davison, 80's been on. I'll throw this one to you, Ian. He says, would the Americans not be better off ditching both Mickelson and Woods, who, let's face it, even in their prime, hardly set the Ryder Cup alight? Their young guns have enough brilliance and class to destroy the Europeans without the old-timer circus.
I would say you'd have to take the two lads just because they bring so much to the locker room. There's so much experience there. You have to remember now, they haven't won a Ryder Cup on European soil since 1993. So it's a new experience for them all trying to win a Ryder Cup over there. I think the course is going to suit Tiger Massey. It's not a big driver course. It's a course you got to put your ball in play and good iron play. And that's what Tiger's doing at his best at the moment. Mickelson probably won't play every round. I think he's a foursomes nightmare around that course. I think he'll have 2-4 balls in the singles. But I think you still have to have him in the locker room for the week because they're kind of like the elder statesman now of the team. And the guys will be going to them for advice throughout the week. So yeah, I think they're still valuable commodities on the US team, sorry.
The fact they get on well, I was going to say, the fact we already discussed it, but the fact they get on well now is a real bonus, isn't it? Because in the past, Tiger and Phil together has been a disruptive influence, but they'll actually be helping team harmony this time. And I mean, Mickelson, barring golf aside, Mickelson's essential for the ping pong room. If Kuchar doesn't make the team, then Mickelson's going to have to lead the ping pong. Ping pong's very important to the Americans during the Ryder Cup. Really, team bonding sessions around the ping pong table. So I think Mickelson's essential for that, if nothing else.
Vital. Right, a player that misses out this week due to injuries, Ricky Fowler. And Goldstats has been on, Steve, and says, is Ricky Fowler the most overbet golfer on the planet?
Interesting question. Yeah, he's certainly a popular chap. I mean, obviously he won 4 official US Tour events. I suppose not a great deal for but he doesn't half bring in some each way money, doesn't he? He's a very consistent player. So, I suppose in win-only terms, it hasn't been a very rewarding experience. But if you backed him each way every time he teed up, you'd probably be in profit.
Ian, is Ricky Fowler popular with the Paddy Power golf punters?
He would be. I think he kind of got magnified more after he had the top fives in every major in 2015, 2016. So obviously he caught punter's eyes there. He would have been popular for that year, 18 months after that. It's slowly starting to dwindle now. I think it's because it's getting so top heavy. The likes of your DJs, JT, obviously Brooks with his 3 major wins. Rory's always popular. Tiger being back, always popular. So they can't back everybody. So there's guys probably usurping him in terms of popularity in the market itself.
Okay, interesting one. Right, the Greek 82 has been on. It says, When Steve's on a bad run, which is very rarely, does Steve stick even more to his principles of research, or does he mix up the process in an attempt to turn around his fortunes?
Never change the process. It's worked for more than two decades now. It deserves to be trusted. I get very uneasy actually when the process is changed at all. For, you know, sometimes reasons I can't control. One difficult phone call in the middle of the process can, blast me out of the zone. Yeah, you've really got to get in the zone when you're thinking about who's going to win a golf tournament. And I try to stick rigidly to the process. The wife had the bank holiday Monday off this week, and that can upset the process. You have the wife and child around on a Monday, and you can't get in the zone. But yeah, I do everything I can to stick with the tried and trusted methods.
And golf, Steve, is a sport that is massively analysed from a statistical base. There are new stats always coming out that you're keeping an eye on, or do you just stick to your ways and that's it?
Yeah, I always keep an eye on them, but you can get a sense of paralysis by analysis, if you will. I think a lot of people get a little bit too head up on stats. That your basic principles that have worked for 20-odd years are still going to work now. You know, is this the player that's playing well, is suited to the course? And, I try not to get... I look at everything, but I try not to get too obsessed with stats.
Okay, right, M Still 72 has been on. It says, going into the last day, how many shots behind was the biggest comeback winner either of you have ever had? I'll start with you, Ian.
It was Smiley Kaufman in the Shriners Hostels for Children Open in 2014. He was 10 behind. Had a pre-term bet at 200-1, so I think it was even bigger going into the Sunday. I think Kevin Na was leading at one stage, so there was always a chance with him in front that he could get him beat. He shot 61. I think he won by a shot. So that'd be the biggest comeback ever on a Sunday for me.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I have a very, very short memory these days, so I'm doubtlessly not going to be able to give the accurate answer. A bit of recency bias, probably, but Shubhankar Sharma, Maybank Championship in February. I mean, that was a beautiful Sunday morning when I woke up, and he was in 19th place going into the final round, and he ended up winning by a couple of shots, I think. So, Who finished second?
I think it was Eric Van Rooyen was second.
Eric Van Rooyen, yeah. It was early morning tournament, wasn't it?
But that's right.
There's probably been others, but yeah, from 19th place to a comfortable victory was incredible.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Pete Selby says, if Steve could change one thing, whether that be rules, layouts, anything at all in golf, what would it be?
If I could change one thing in golf?
Yeah.
I'd probably axe the Ryder Cup. How about that?
A lot of effort
for little reward in my mind. I mean, as a punter, I've discussed it before, as a punter, it's a terrible event. And as a person, I don't love Europe enough to get worked up about it. I don't hate the United States enough to get emotional about the result. I love the United States. I'm going to the United States next week. It's a fantastic country. So I'd probably axe the Ryder Cup. I mean, if Tyrrell Hatton beats Ricky Fowler in a Sunday singles match, am I supposed to be deliriously happy about that? You know, I love Ricky Fowler. I don't particularly like Tyrrell Hatton. I cannot get worked up in the same way as other people. So, I'd probably axe the Ryder Cup.
Wow. What about yourself, Ian? Anything you'd like to see change?
Maybe the dialing back of the golf ball a bit. I think these yardages that the balls are flying now, 340, 350 off the tee, it's kind of taken away from the more classic golf courses. They can't really go to these places anymore for major championships because they just bomb and gouge and kind of ruin the golf course in a sense. Now, every major we go to, it's 7,300 yards, 7,500 yards. I think the last kind of sub 7,000 was Marion for the US Open in 2013. And that was a great spectacle because they kind of tricked the course up a little bit to kind of alleviate the bombing of the course itself. But I think the dialing back of the golf will be the one rule I would change.
I just thought another one, Dave, if you don't mind me. But we're just talking about the rules there. The green reading books. I don't like the green reading books. I mean, yeah, green reading is a skill. It's, from day one, it was about looking at the green, seeing what you could see there. That is golf, isn't it? And now they're getting their books out, spending ages looking at their flipping atlas. I would get rid of them. But yeah, this is a silly chat because we're never going to have any power, are we?
What was the issue with Bryson DeChambeau? Was he using a tractor?
Yeah. retracted to read the greens.
That's now been banned, right?
That's been banned.
He's showing off, isn't he?
Yeah,
showing off.
I think Galileo was the last one to use one on the green to do that.
He loves them. He loves his label as the mad scientist.
That's it.
We have a Bunsen burner out on the green next week.
I did read that as an amateur, he used to soak his golf balls in water and Epsom salts.
Yeah, that's right.
To test the centre of gravity.
Yeah. Well, it's working for him.
I'm all laughing at him,
and he's winning pundits.
See, he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Indeed. Right, we're going to head for a quick break, and then we'll tackle this week's two competitions.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. We've got Steve Palmer and Ian McLaughlin from our friends at Paddy Power on the line. I'll throw to you first, Steve. This week we've got the Dell Technologies Championship at TPC Boston, where it's been for a few years now. First of all, tell us a little bit about the course.
Yeah, pretty easy course, Dave. Generous fairways, traditionally low scoring, has been used since 2003, so a very well-established venue, first as a regulation US Tour event and then for the playoffs. I would advise punters to go for powerful, aggressive golfers who are strong on the greens.
Right, we'll get a show from Ian and then I'll come back to you for your outright tip, Steve. Ian, run us down sort of the first 10 in the betting.
Sure. Seven places this week in the Dell Technologies. Dustin Johnson heads are betting at 8-1. Justin Thomas next in 10-1. Brooks Koepka 12-1. Rory McIlroy 14-1. Jason Day 14-1. Tiger Woods 18-1. Jordan Spieth 18-1. Justin Rose 22-1. John Rahm 22-1. And 28-1 bar.
Well, some big names in there, Steve. Any of them big names took your fancy this week?
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a broken record for regular podcast listeners here, but I think Jason Day is the best value option again. I think he's so close to putting it all together. He just needs tiny improvements here and there. He's on a run of five consecutive top 20s. That bit of extra room off the tee at TPC Boston will help him. He appreciates wider targets when he's got driver in hand. And the rest of his game looks ready for a massive performance. His irons are dialed in. His putting was better last week. And yeah, I see him going extremely close to a third FedEx Cup playoff triumph. He's got a good record in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's entirely focused on winning the $10 million bonus check this year because he won twice earlier in the season. So he's laid a very good foundation for a FedEx Cup challenge. TPC Boston, perfect for him. He was runner-up there in 2010. Never finished worse than 51st place in 10 starts there, which, when you consider minimum size field of 100, and all the best players are there for the playoff events. It's been a playoff event since 2007, I think it is. To never finish worse than 51st is a great, consistently good record. So yeah, I think a lot of people have been frustrated with Jason Day for not kicking on. His Sunday performances have been a bit disappointing, but I would advise punters to keep the faith, give him one last go.
With it being the second week of the FedEx Cup playoffs, is that a factor in any way, Steve?
I think, did Justin Thomas win the second one before he won the FedEx Cup? The first three have sort of similar importance, and then the last one, the most important of all, because you've got to get in that top five. If you're in the top five at Eastlake, you've got a fantastic chance of winning the overall competition. So, Jason Day is fully pumped up for this. He's entirely focused. I mean, the Ryder Cup boys, all our chat is about Ryder Cup. The Americans and the leading Europeans, that has to be on their mind now. That you'd be perhaps saving yourself a little bit for the Ryder Cup. But Jason Day hasn't got to worry about that. He'd be practicing his nuts off. And, this is what he wants to do. He just wants the next 3 weeks, just serious flourish. And I think he'll deliver.
Great stuff. Ian McLaughlin from Paddy Power. Take the floor. Who do we like?
Top bet this week is Jordan Spieth. I think he's coming close again in his first win this season. Was a good 12th at the PGA Championship after a slow start, finished 66, 69, 66. Closed with a 73 to Northern Trust on Sunday for a 25th place finish. But I think he played a hell of a lot better than the results suggest. Looking at his putting stats, they're starting to slowly come back to the levels I saw him take all before him in 2015. His iron play is still to a high standard. He has a very good record at TPC Boston. Shot a 62 Sunday in 2013 for a fast finishing 4th place and to make the Presidents Cup team. He was plus three through nine holes last year before playing his last 63 holes and 17 under par to finish second behind Justin Thomas. I think he goes very close to lifting the trophy this week.
Yeah, I backed Spieth last week actually, and I thought I'd done my money after two rounds. He shot a fantastic 64, so I think I'll be rowing in with you as well, Ian. What about at big prices? Anything catch the eye?
I like three more big prices. The next one in is Tyrrell Hatton. Looking through his TD Green stats, he ranks quite highly in the PGA Tour so far. I think he's played 10 qualifying events, so he finally gets his stats kind of built into the system. He's 12 strokes gained TD Green, 15 strokes gained approach, 14th in greens regulation. He was becoming very frustrated on the greens at the Northern Trust. I think if anyone follows him on Twitter, he went out and bought a putter off the rack at a local golf shop in New Jersey, and he subsequently shot a 64 for a 20th place finish, and he gained almost three shots in the field on the greens. With that, like, his confidence must be back in terms of his putting. That only can be good things for him. And with, combined with his good tee to green stats, I think he's a solid each way better around 66-1. Two more then. Adam Hadwin, back to form last week with an 11th place finish at Northern Trust. Has been progressing the TPC Boston, 46th in 2016, followed by a 13th place finish last week. So slowly getting to terms with the course. Struck the ball great last week and always has a dynamite short game. I think he can go well around the 125-1 mark. And the last one is Nick Watney, also finished 11th in Northern Trust. Looks to be showing signs that the game's coming back. Patchy enough record at TPC Boston, but I thought he was worth a flyer around 200-1.
Well, some big prices in there for you, Ian. What about you, Steve? Big price fancies?
Yeah, got a big price fancy. Did you see the? Did you see Spieth miss that 7-inch putt last week?
I did.
That was incredible.
Yeah, one-handed,
yeah,
and missed
it. Yeah, went out one-handed for a triple bogey. Yeah, I just. But yeah, you're right. He is sort of creeping back into form, isn't he? I think Spieth is worth considering. But yeah, my other bet. I've only got two selections on the Dell Technologies Championship. Aaron Wise. He did us a favour last week. I said I don't think we'll see many 150-1 quotes about him again, and that may have been the last of them. Perhaps in the majors, if he's out of form, I don't know. But Wise is a 22-year-old, all the tools to succeed at the highest level. He's powerful. He's got a textbook swing, and his short game is sharp as well. Yeah, he's making his debut at TPC Boston this week, but it seems like the perfect track for him to show off his talents, if you ask me. He's up to 15th in the FedEx Cup standings now. He's probably loving watching his bank account go bananas. I mean, he's a cocksure youngster. I think he'd be fancying going all the way now and having a crack at the overall title. I certainly see a second US Tour title coming sooner rather than later. He got his maiden win in a couple of months ago, and yeah, I think another one's coming soon.
Sounds like you've got a lot of love for Mr. Wise, Steve. Do you think he's a player worth following, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've been following him for throughout his pro career. I really like the look of him. I think he's, you know, potentially, well, certainly a top 10 player, maybe even better than that.
Okay, lads, anything else catch the eye in the Dell Technologies before we move on to Denmark?
No, happy enough with the outright bets.
Lovely.
No, just outright markets for me.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Okay, right, we'll head for another quick break and then we'll tackle the Made in Denmark.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post weekly golf postcast. We now head to Denmark for the Made in Denmark. And I'll throw over to our golf expert, Mr. Steve Palmer. Now, a new course, Steve. Done a little bit of research. And what I could find is that Thomas Bjorn used to play there a bit as a nipper.
Yeah, that's it. No, I mean, you've got to do some serious digging to find out about new European Tour venues. I mean, the European Tour website never gives you any help. You really have got to be a whiz on the internet to get anywhere. But yeah, I've got a handle on it now. It's never even been used on the Challenge Tour. It's a short, tight, tree-lined venue, lots of dog legs, plenty of water, and the greens are quite slow. And yeah, Thomas Bjorn has got a little fountain there that... that he used to be in his back garden, funnily enough, where he used to practice his chipping. Don't think that's going to help punters find the winner, but yeah, Thomas Bjorn loves the place, and it is obviously very fitting that he's naming his, his wild cards. This is the final event for European Ryder Cup team qualification. Yeah, it all fits nicely.
The Silkeboy Rye Golf Club in Denmark. Yeah. Give us a show then, please, Ian.
Sure. 6 places this week in the Made in Denmark. Thorbjørn Allison heads are betting at 8-1. Thomas Peters 10-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick 16-1. Eddie Pepperell 20-1. Danny Willett 28-1. Lucas Bjerregaard 28-1. And 30-1 bar.
Now, Steve, I know you was very strong on Thomas Peters last week. Are we going in again?
No. I don't think this course will suit him anywhere near as much as last week's. And his confidence must have taken a hit from what happened over the final 3 days. He just couldn't get it going. Even on the Sunday, he started eagle birdie on the Sunday to get back into things, and then immediately made a couple of bogeys after that. So no, he's not the man this week. The man is Lucas Bjerregaard. Or Lucas Biergarten, Lucas Budgerigard, whatever you want to call him. You'll find him there. Hardly anybody in this field has got competitive experience under their belt at the track. But Lucas Bedregar finished 11th in an Eco Tour event there in 2015. That's the sort of Danish professional circuit. He lives in this region, so knows the course better than most. He's shown he can handle this sort of track as well. He was third at Wentworth in May. I think looking at the pictures of the course, there are similarities between Wentworth and Silkeborg Rye. And he had a real purple patch around that Wentworth performance. He had four top sixes on the European Tour from April onwards. And he bounced back to form last week. He was ninth in the Czech Masters last time out. And he opened up at 40-1 this week. I was surprised how big a price he was for, you know, his home event. He's in great nick for his home event. I think there was a WD on his form chart, which I think was putting a lot of people off. But it's nothing to do with injury or illness. It was his personal reasons was the reason given for that withdrawal from the Nordea Masters. So there's nothing to worry about. He's in great nick, ninth last week, and I think he's the Dane to be concentrating on. I mean, Thorben Olesen's under enormous pressure this week. He'd be hogging all the headlines, but I think it is his compatriot that will take the trophy.
Lovely stuff. What about yourself, Ian?
Top bet this week in the Maiden Denmark is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Should be suited by the setup at Silkeborg, a short tree-line course where actually is the key. He's been somewhat inconsistent this year, but he's showing signs he's getting back to form. He has two previous wins on short courses where trees line the fairway at Woburn and Cranser-Sierre. A Ryder Cup wildcard pick is probably still unlikely with a win, but we'll still want to lay a marker down at the Ryder Cup captain's home course. I think he's probably, looking at the front end of the market, I think he's the most solid proposition around the 16-1 mark.
And if Fitzpatrick wins, he makes the Ryder Cup team, is that right?
Not if Olesen finishes in the top seven.
Yeah.
So yeah, Olesen can still nab him.
Okay, right. What about bigger prices then, Steve?
To bigger prices, I think Tapio Pulkkanen is the next best. He's a Finn, short journey to Denmark for the Finn, and he's another one with significant course form. He won the Maiden Denmark qualifying event at Silkeborg Rye in 2015. So yeah, he can hit the ground running. He's won six Nordic Golf League events, so he loves performing in this region. And I think he'd be a much shorter price if he sustained his Czech Masters challenge last week. He was banging it. He was in the penultimate group on Saturday, played really well, impressed Podrick Harrington in that two ball. And then, unfortunately, on the Sunday, it went horribly wrong. He shot 77, took six at a par three, greenside water hazard. So a disappointing finish, but overall it was a good performance. He showed his game is close. So Pulkkanen, I mean, looks a bit of a moron on the course. Wears a Trilby hat, and it doesn't look like he's taking things seriously. But he topped the Challenge Tour rankings last season, so he's certainly no mug. Finished third in the Joburg Open on the European Tour just before Christmas, and I thought Pulkkanen at massive prices is an interesting each-way option.
So you're fully rowing in with whatever course knowledge that there is out there.
Well, yeah, it took me a long time to find any, and when I did, I was interested by the results. Yeah, I think having already played the course in competitive, in proper tournaments, the low grade events, I'll grant you, but I think it's helpful.
Okay, and Ian, obviously you gave a good shout to Matthew Fitzpatrick. Anyone at bigger prices catch the eye?
I'll give a next best, and I have two outsiders again. Next best is Matt Wallace. Sixth in this tournament last year, albeit on a different course, the Silkeborg. 19th place finished the PGA Championship, but only have instilled him with more confidence. Performs well in these second-tier European Tour events. Looking back, he had a year when he won six times in the Alps Tour a couple of years ago. Looking, a large majority of those courses will be a similar type of setup to Silkeborg. Kind of short enough, tree-line fairways. You've got to place your ball in certain positions and have a good iron play. So I think he can go well around 33-1. First outsider is Conor Syme, a young Scottish player who is having a very solid year in the PGA, on the European Tour, sorry. Second at the Shot Clock Masters being the highlight. Reminds you a little bit of Matthew Fitzpatrick, an accurate driver, a good iron player, and a wizard on the greens. I think he'd be very much suited to the test that Silkeborg possesses, and at 100-1 he's worth an each-way play. And the last outsider is Pontus Wiedegren, a Swede, having a terrible year until a ninth place finish last week in the Czech Republic. I think he's a decent player in his day. He can put the lights out when he's on. I thought he was worth a small each-way play at around the 300-1 mark.
Marvellous. Some big prices in there. OK, gents, anything outside of the outright market tickle your fancy this week?
I got four other big prices in the outright market if you want them.
Yes, of course we do, Steve. Yep.
I mean, I've got six big prices this week. The other four are Jason Scrivener, well suited to the course, closed with a 67 for 18th spot in Prague last week. Marcus Kinholt, brilliant Swedish youngster who will win soon, should like this track. And then two absolutely enormous prices. Jacob Klenemo, another Swede. He won on this course in June on the Eco Tour. He's been in superb nick generally in Nordic Golf League events. So stepping up in grade, but you know, playing so well and proven on the course. And then Morten Oram Madsen was he opened up at 750-1 this week. I know he's missing cuts on the Challenge Tour, but yeah, this is a European Tour champion in 2014. He won the SA Open in 2014, and if he's going to bounce back anywhere, it'll be here. He was born in Silkeborg, still lives there, so significant course knowledge edge. So there's certainly enough there to get involved at those sort of prices. And he's that sort of player. I mean, he's hugely inconsistent. Even when he was at the top of his game, he'd be amazing one week and terrible the next. And, you know, you can afford to risk a few quid at those prices.
Each way, surely, Steve, at those prices?
Yeah, yeah. And then top 20 markets as well. You know, there's, you know, the top 20 was 50-1 this week, I think. So, you know, when you get a player that you give half a chance to and he's virtually bottom of the outright market, then yeah, there's plenty of options, isn't there?
Lovely stuff. Right, let's give a quick summary of the guys' tips then. Steve, you're massively strong on Jason Day in the Deltec.
Yeah, just before we continue, he's 50-1 for a top 10, Madsen. I thought that sounded too good to be true. I'm just checking what bets I've had. Yeah, 50-1 for a top 10. So yeah, I'm big on Jason Day in the Dell Technologies, and then Aaron Wise is the each way alternative. And then in the Maiden Denmark, I've got six big prices: Lukas Bedrigard, Tapio Pulkkanen, Jason Scrivener, Marcus Kinholt, Jacob Glenemo, and Morten Oram Madsen.
Lovely. And Ian, go to the Deltec quickly first. Yeah. You like Spieth again?
Yeah, Jordan Spieth will be the top bet. Next best, Tyrrell Hatton. Two at big prices, Adam Hadwin and Nick Watney. And then the Maiden Denmark, top bet, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Next best, Matt Wallace. Two outsiders, Connor Syme and Pontus Wiedegren.
Lovely.
Just quickly, Ian, I might have changed my mind on the American Ryder Cup picks now after our chat.
Oh, really?
Schaffele's gone off the boil a little, hasn't he? So
that's right, Jay.
I think Schaffele, he needs a significant performance this week. They need to reassure Fury that he's the one. Finau's just snuck ahead of him, isn't he?
So,
I think DeChambeau, Woods, Mickelson, and then Finau, Schaffele, or even Kucher played all right last week. He's sneaking back in. So I have no idea on that last pick now. I think Finau, if I was pushed. So if you did want to do any prices, I know we never got round to that in the end last week.
Yeah, I think I'll definitely get something up for the Europeans on Sunday because it's not till the following Wednesday. I think Furyk's on Wednesday as well. So it's a bit easier. It's a lot easier. It's
once
easier
it's all
now.
Finished, yeah, yeah.
Once it's all finished. The permutations kind of stop. It's easier to score. Right, these guys, it's one or two from four guys, basically.
Well,
so,
if Olsson qualifies, which we're all thinking he does, then get a price on Garcia, Stenson, Poulter and Peters with DeChambeau, Woods, Mickelson and Finau.
Perfect. Quickly, a bit of housekeeping, Steve. The Dell Technologies Championship is not the traditional Thursday to Sunday. Doesn't start till Friday,
very good
does it?
Point, though. Very good point. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they say every year it starts on a Friday, and every year I log on Thursday to check the scores, and I'm like, what's happened? No, it must be thunderstorms. Nope, you're just being stupid, as per usual. So, yeah, starts Friday, finishes Monday.
So do watch your bets there. Right, well, thank the guys for their pearls of wisdom on the golf. And if you do enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or any other platform that you are listening to us on.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.